The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies magazines. Let's begin with this one from Magnolia. A case for boredom. Boredom is often viewed as a negative light, but what if it has its rightful place in our index of human emotions? What happens if we choose to embrace boredom in hopes of the places it might lead us? Some say it's a feat to achieve boredom in a world like this one, and yet it still comes in moments we do and don't expect. So, in the event that a moment turns dull, or a wall is hit, or the to-do list feels monotonous, or a certain kind of disinterest, or fatigue, or apathy seeps into the same old everyday routine, what if, instead of rushing to fill the empty space, instead of looking to change the tides, instead of pushing that feeling away, what if the response to boredom is to just sit in it, to let ourselves settle into the discomfort of being still, and see what rises to the surface of our finally unoccupied minds? What if a moment turned dull is actually a wide open space, room enough to ponder and to daydream and to consider what in the world is worth filling our minds with? What if our boredom contains within it a certain kind of spark just waiting to be ignited, an awakening that disrupts the monotony and leads us toward endless possibilities? What if hitting a wall is really just a timely reminder that we're worth more than what we do, that our inherent value remains even if we produce nothing? And what if boredom, when we embrace it and allow it to lead us to a place of being still, is really just a chance to slow down, a chance to take a deep breath, and a chance to bring about much-needed clarity in a world that moves very fast? First for Women, The Art of Making Small Talk, How to Use Chit-Chat to Forge Deeper Connections. Do you get nervous when meeting new people or chatting with strangers? I do. Whether you're standing in line at the store or mingling at a dinner party, small talk can feel intimidating, especially if you're naturally shy or easily get anxious. But it's hard to avoid it. Small talk is like an appetizer for any relationship, in business, in social life, and romance, says Deborah Fine, author of The Fine Art of Small Talk, How to Start a Conversation, Keep it Going, Build Networking Skills, and Leave a Positive Impression. Deborah's last name, Fine, F-I-N-E. Any connection you make starts with small talk. To help make the most of those moments when small talk is inevitable, try the following tips. You'll get better at small talk and ultimately enjoy deeper conversations. First, avoid landmines. You may think you're just striking up a conversation, but it's important to steer clear of potential pitfalls, like whether someone is married or has kids when you first meet, says Fine. Instead, start with general questions. Sometimes I simply say, so tell me about yourself, and let the person decide what to talk about, rather than put them on the spot with a potentially touchy subject. Same goes for asking people you know about work, school, or family, she adds. Instead of asking, how is your job, or did you get into that school, simply say, so what's new with work, or college search, or family? 2. Prep a better response to everyday questions. The next time someone asks how your day is going, resist the urge to say, good, how are you? And try having a short and sweet answer prepared instead. In place of responding with just one word, give them a real answer in one sentence, suggests Fine. Something as simple as, it was great, I took advantage of the weather to put my plants in, can help move conversations along. Ask what keeps them busy. Believe it or not, asking general questions about how someone spends their free time can spark meaty discussions. It lets someone disclose what he or she chooses and leads to deeper and more interesting conversation, says Fine. The simple question can be adapted to any setting. At a networking function, ask them what they do for fun outside of work. At a children's birthday party, inquire what keeps them busy outside of their kids. It's one of my all-time favorite conversation starters, she says. Next, don't overdo it. You don't have to strike up a conversation with every neighbor you see on the sidewalk or coworker in the hallway. Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm coined the term stop and chat, and he was opposed to it. Laughs fine. Turns out David had a point. Don't feel like you must stop and conduct a full conversation with everyone you encounter during your day. Simply being civil and saying hi in those cases can help you feel connected. And last, have fun with it. There will be times when the conversation simply falls flat. Don't sweat it. Just with anything, small talk is a skill that takes practice. You may not love starting conversations with people you don't know very well, but it will get easier and becomes rewarding, says Fine. I like to think of it as a game, like I'm going to speak to two new people at this party. And when I approach it like that, I have fun with it. From real simple, minor issues, major opinions, this month's question or issues question, I think it was a two-month issue, should you use paper towels or the hand dryer in a public restroom? Everyone's got thoughts on this. We collected jurors, then called on the experts to settle the debate once and for all. So readers are, they fall into three different schools of thought. One, paper towels. Two, hand dryer. Three, it doesn't matter. So the paper towelers say, I'm a paper towel user. Then I turn off the faucet and open the door with it. I count on no one to wash their hands. Another person said, I would rather wipe my hands on my pants than use the germ blower. And the hand dryer people say, I use paper towels because my kids don't like the loud noise the hand dryer makes. Without kids, I use the hand dryer to reduce waste. And another person, hand dryers keep restrooms clean from trash everywhere, so I use them. We're so scared of germs in this society. And the it doesn't matter people say, something is better than nothing. As long as you wash your hands, it's a step in the right direction. And another, I really don't know what the big deal is. I'm almost 50 years old and I've used both, and I'm not dead yet. And the experts weigh in. We have to hand it to air dryers, specifically the high-speed versions like the Dyson Airblade and Excel Accelerator. Germ-wise, paper towels and dryers are basically tied. A 2020 meta-analysis of 23 studies comparing the two suggests that neither poses a serious viral or bacterial risk, says Kelly Reynolds, Ph.D., director of the Environment, Exposure, Science, and Risk Assessment Center at the University of Arizona and lead author of the analysis. Overall, there was less contamination with paper towels, but we found that the difference wasn't significant. When you consider, the environmental impact, however, high-speed dryers win. According to an MIT study from 2013, machines that can dry hands in 10 to 15 seconds have the least impact on the environment. Here's the rub. Not all dryers work that fast. We looked at a variety of scenarios, including those where people used conventional hand dryers for less than 30 seconds and they left with damp hands, says Jeremy Gregory, Ph.D., executive director of the MIT Climate and Sustainability Consortium and lead author of the study. Which brings us to a germier rub. Moist hands absorb more bacteria than dry hands, says Sandra Wilkes, Ph.D., a microbiologist and associate professor at the University of Southampton in England. The drying process isn't the problem. More important is washing your hands properly, then drying your hands thoroughly before you exit. So if there's a speedy machine, have at it. Otherwise, grab a towel. From First for Women, a blessing in disguise, the wonderful nuisance. I looked out the window of our seaside summer cottage and felt a rush of annoyance. "That man is here again," I said to my husband Adam. "He's got his stupid metal detector and is going along our beach. We need to put up a private property sign." Although it didn't seem to bother Adam, I was determined to make this stranger aware of the boundaries and stormed out the door toward the beach. I barreled up to the guy, but before I could speak, his detector went off and he began digging, then retrieved a bracelet. I burst out in tears and explained that my mother had left me that bracelet and I'd been devastated when I had lost it last year. "You're my hero," I gushed, meaning it with all my heart. "See you next time." Well, that took a turn, didn't it? From real simple, the kindness of strangers. America is experiencing a loneliness epidemic, says U.S. Surgeon General Vivek H. Murthy, M.D., who warns that the emotion is linked to heart disease, stroke, dementia, and premature death. The prescription is connection, even if it's fleetingly forged with a stranger, says Nero Feliciano, a certified cognitive therapist and the author of This Book Won't Make You Happy. I will spell that last name, Feliciano. Friendly interactions increase the levels of certain mood-elevating hormones in our brain, which encourages pro-social behavior, she says, meaning we're more likely to be friendlier to other people in turn. If you find it hard to chat with strangers, try simply complimenting their outfit, commenting on the book or dog or baby they're holding, or commiserating about the pharmacy line you're in. Don't be deterred by a person staring into their phone, Feliciano says. If you have something nice or empathetic to say, they may need to hear it the most. Making someone else's day just might make yours. From First for Women, hope, support, and assistance. If you're dealing with a cancer diagnosis, there are many organizations and resources like My Sister's Keeper that can help you during your journey. Here are just a few. Find a Listening Ear. The American Cancer Society offers 24/7 hotline, and that number is 800-227-2345. That's 800-227-2345. That you can call and speak with a trained cancer information specialist or a volunteer cancer survivor. They provide information, guidance, and compassionate listening. Boost self-esteem. If you're losing your hair from chemotherapy, wigs can be very expensive. Reach out to eBeauty. They have a website, eBeauty.com. That's eBeauty.com for assistance. The nonprofit refurbishes thousands of donated wigs every year and provides them for cancer patients who are struggling with medical hair loss. Get help with finances. A cancer diagnosis and the resulting treatment can be a financial burden. Many cancer-focused nonprofits can provide financial assistance, and the PAN Foundation, they have a website, PANFOUNDATION.org, helps underinsured people afford the medications and treatments they need. And have a little fun. Enjoy gentle hobbies during treatment, like reading, knitting, and origami. Or find support and laughter with a community online that can relate to you by joining Facebook groups of women with cancer, like Cancer Survivors and Supporters, or Surviving Cancer. From First for Women, a couple of random tips here. First, how do you remove oily stains? You drop some of your famous pasta salad on your shirt, and it left behind an oil splotch. First's Reader Tips to the rescue. They have two different tips. 32% of people or respondents liked this idea. Apply dish soap to the stain, like Dawn. Let sit 10 minutes, then soak the garment for 30 minutes before rinsing and laundering. The soap breaks down the oils. 68% of people liked this idea. Cover the stain with baking soda and let it sit for 60 minutes, then launder as usual. The absorbent powder sops up the oil. Sidestep the seasonal blues. Seasonal affective disorder, I have that, gets a lot of attention in the winter, but it can happen any time of the year when fluctuations of your body's serotonin and melatonin levels disrupt normal rhythms. The result? Changes in mood, sleep, and behavior. The feel-good fix? A 15-minute swim or a soak in a bathtub filled with cool water. Scientists say dropping your body temperature for a few minutes ramps up serotonin release, helping you feel more upbeat and energized. A free fix for dull tweezers. If your trusty tweezers are a bit worn down, making it more difficult to pluck those stray hairs, instead of spending money on a new pair, try this. Close the tweezers around an emery board and gently move the board back and forth a few times. The abrasive surface will sharpen the metal for more precise plucking. And one more. Coating earring posts with lip balm forms a barrier that prevents earlobe irritation. Well, I needed that tip 20 years ago. Okay. From First for Women. Kindness of strangers. Tail wagging audience. While babysitting my 7-year-old granddaughter, Lucy, I took her to our downtown bookstore. She loved to read, but was shy about reading aloud. Still, I kept hoping she'd come out of her shell. Once there, we gathered a few picture books and settled in the reading area, where I begged her to read to me, but she got flustered and refused. An older man, with a small dog nestled in his lap, waved us over and gave a soft smile. "You know, my pup Mitzi is shy, too, but she'd love it if you'd read to her," he suggested. Well, that was all it took, and from that moment on, Lucy read like a pro to the dozing little pooch, loving every minute. All because of this astute stranger, Lucy now reads to her own dog and mine, her parents, her friends, and me, too. I hope somehow Mitzi knows the difference she's made in a little girl's life. From First for Women, 4 ways to sneak citrus into your moods to help with weight loss or maintain a healthy weight. Squeeze lemon into drinks. Citrus is ideal in a glass of water, but the fruit's compounds are enhanced by caffeine, so consider adding to tea. Strive for 75 milligrams of vitamin C daily, the amount in 1 orange or 2 lemons. Add clementines to salads. Toss some clementine wedges into a green salad. They contain naringin, which can stimulate thermogenesis, elevating your metabolism. Snack on Valencia oranges. Every variety of orange offers different health benefits, but Dr. Lee explains the Valencia orange contains the highest level of hesperidin, a fat-fighting compound shown to help people slim while building muscle. And great orange zest over desserts. The zest of citrus fruit contains an oil compound called D-limonene, believed to have anti-inflammatory and cancer-protecting properties. Sprinkle it on ice cream, cookies, and cakes. From First for Women, in focus, red leaf lettuce. Pick up this salad superfood at your local market. It's good for you. Packed with vitamins A and K, red leaf lettuce aids in immunity, cell growth, eye health, and bone strength. When buying, look for heads that are small to medium in size with glossy, vibrant leaves that show no signs of wilting. And separate them, the leaves, and rinse in cold water, then pat dry and chill in a plastic bag lined with paper towels. Some easy ideas. It's a wrap. Combine 2 cups coleslaw mix, 1 cup diced cooked chicken, 1/2 cup sesame dressing, 1/2 cup of peanuts, and 3 sliced scallions. Divide this mixture among 8 red lettuce leaves. Roll them up. Lettuce wraps. Grill it. prepare your grill for medium direct heat cooking. Split two heads of red leaf lettuce lengthwise, secure with twine, brush with olive oil, grill cut side down 1 to 2 minutes. Untie, top with citrus vinaigrette, pistachios, and goat cheese. And as a refreshing smoothie, in a blender, puree one head of red leaf lettuce, one cup of water, one stalk of celery, one green apple cored, one teaspoon ginger root peeled, and one lemon peeled. Strain into glasses. From Magnolia, popovers and variations. Prep time, 10 minutes. Bake time, 30. This basic recipe makes 6 popovers. We need 1 cup of 2% milk at room temperature. So you got to think about what you're going to do so you have time to let it get to room temp. 2 large eggs at room temp. 1 tablespoon melted ghee, G-H-E-E, which they say is also called clarified butter, or vegetable oil. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 1 cup all-purpose flour. 1 tablespoon melted ghee, again, clarified butter or vegetable shortening. Place a 6-cavity popover pan in the oven and preheat the oven to 450. To a medium bowl, add milk, eggs, 1 tablespoon of the melted ghee, the salt, and flour in the order given. Whisk until smooth. Carefully remove the hot pan from the oven. Brush cavities with 1 tablespoon melted ghee. Quickly pour the batter into the prepared cavities, filling each one about 2/3 full. Place the pan in the oven. Reduce oven temperature to 400, bake for 30 to 35 minutes or until deeply golden. Important, don't open the oven. If you want to see them, turn on the light. Immediately after removing from the oven, prick the tops of the popovers to let steam escape and maintain crispness. Remove popovers from the pan and serve immediately. To get more bold, explore new flavors. For Gruyere and onion version, prepare as directed. Except add 2 tablespoons finely shredded Gruyere cheese, 1 tablespoon caramelized sweet onion, and 1/2 teaspoon fresh thyme leaves with the milk. To caramelize the onion, cook 1/4 cup of finely chopped sweet onion in a small skillet with 1 tablespoon salted butter over medium-low, 20 minutes, or until deep golden brown, stirring occasionally. For an herb parmesan option, prepare as directed, except add 2 tablespoons finely shredded parmesan cheese, 1 tablespoon chopped fresh parsley, chives, or dill, and 1 small clove of garlic minced along with the milk. For an almond version, prepare as directed, except add 1/2 teaspoon almond extract with the milk. Sprinkle batter in the pan with 2 to 3 tablespoons sliced almonds. Brush freshly baked popovers with 2 tablespoons melted salted butter, and then sprinkle the tops with coarse sugar. A cinnamon sugar version, prepare as directed, except add 1/2 teaspoon each ground cinnamon and vanilla with the milk. Brush freshly baked popovers with 2 tablespoons melted salted butter and sprinkle tops with a mixture of 2 tablespoons granulated sugar and 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon. And dark chocolate version. Prepare as directed, except add 1 tablespoon grated semi-sweet chocolate and 1 tablespoon granulated sugar with the milk, and substitute 2 tablespoons unsweetened cocoa powder for the 2 tablespoons of the flour. Before serving, dust popovers with powdered sugar. And finish them with butter. They offer 2 kinds of butters you can make. Garlic herb butter. Stir together 1/2 cup softened salted butter, 2 tablespoons finely chopped fresh parsley, chive, or dill, and 1 small clove garlic minced in a bowl. Or, for the dessert ones, honey cinnamon butter. Stir together a 1/2 cup softened salted butter, 2 tablespoons honey, and 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon in a bowl. Some tips and tricks. Classic popover pans with 6 cavities that are deep and taper slightly, well, they work best. But if you don't have one, opt for a standard 2.5-inch muffin pan. To really reach the iconic popover height, use room temperature eggs and milk. Preheating the pan at a high temperature creates crispy exterior and the steam needed to lift the popovers. Make them real high. To reheat leftovers, place the popovers on a baking sheet and bake in a 400-degree oven 5 to 10 minutes or until hot and crisp. Serve immediately. Popovers can have a mind of their own, so if they vary slightly from batch to batch, don't sweat it. They'll still be delicious. From Real Simple, Better For You Hearty Black Bean Chili. Whether you're tailgating or tucking in at home, this cozy fall recipe is a winner. Active time 20 minutes, total time is 45. This serves 6 to 8 people, so you can get a couple of meals out of it. 2 tablespoons olive oil, 1 medium yellow onion chopped, 4 cloves of garlic finely chopped, that's about 4 teaspoons, 3 15-ounce cans of black beans drained, 2 28-ounce cans of diced fire-roasted tomatoes, 1 15-ounce can of corn undrained, 1/4 cup dry quinoa, 1/4 cup of ketchup, 3 tablespoons salted butter, 2 tablespoons Worcestershire sauce, 2 tablespoons chili powder, 1 tablespoon dried oregano, 1 tablespoon garlic powder, 1 tablespoon cumin, 1 1/2 teaspoons kosher salt, 1 tablespoon smoked paprika, optional, and then shredded cheese, sour cream, sliced scallions, cilantro, crushed tortilla chips, and or plain Greek yogurt for topping, optional. Heat oil in a large pot over medium, add onion and garlic, cook, stirring occasionally until onion is translucent, 5 to 7 minutes. Add beans, tomatoes, corn, quinoa, ketchup, butter, Worcestershire sauce, chili powder, oregano, garlic powder, cumin, salt, and 1 cup of water. Bring to a boil. Reduce heat to medium-low and simmer, stirring occasionally until thickened, about 25 minutes. Remove from heat and stir in the paprika if using, and then serve with additional toppings or desired toppings. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening. See you next time.